So what's today's the...
it's Wednesday the... Yes, I don't know. I've got no idea. I know Saturday's election, that's the 24th. So
it's the 21st. It is. So I'm interviewing Sandra Choma.
That's it. That's me.
So how long have you lived in... What's this, Leppington?
Yes.
How long have you lived here for?
35 years.
And can you tell me about when you arrived here, how old you were?
I was 27 with three young boys. They were 6, 4 and 9 months.
But you grew up out here, didn't you?
Bosley Park.
Can you talk a bit about that?
Mum and Dad moved there when I was 2 from Clovelly. They bought 8 acres and decided to be farmers. But that sort of didn't work, so Dad still worked in Sydney at Luster Hosiery. And Mum stayed home. Mum and Nan and Grandpa lived with us. So they had ducks and tomatoes and they still and fruit trees.
What's your maiden name?
Dunn.
Dunn, D-U-N-N?
Yep.
What I might do is sit here so that you look at me, so we get more of your voice through the mic there.
Because all right.
It sounds like sound recordings really...
I don't want to talk to that. I talk to you.
Yeah, you talk to me.
You'll be in the sun. Oh, okay. You want me to get closer, do you? I'll get closer.
I want you to be relaxed as well.
Yeah, I'm relaxed.
Okay, that should be fine. So I remember some time ago you talked to me about how you met your husband. Can you talk about that in some detail?
Well, they lived across the road on a chicken farm. They had laying eggs and I was 2 when I met him. He was 5. And I just liked him from when I was tiny.
What's his full name?
Slavo Peter Choma.
What sort of farm did they run?
They had a chicken farm, like free range, all chooks on the... They had 14 acres and they also had fruit trees and they used to grow peas and beans and things like that. So his mum and dad, they just worked the farm. They didn't go out to work. They were there till we were already married, so the government wanted their land to divide it, so they had to sell.
So can you talk about your love story?
Oh, my love story. I just liked him from when I was tiny, and he had a younger sister who was 7 years younger than me, and a brother the same age as me. So when I got to be like 10 and she was 3, I used to go there and mind her, and her brother and his brother and I were really good friends. So I used to go over there to see him, but not really to see him. Because he didn't like me because I was, you know, when you're 10 and they're 13 going on for 14, they don't like 10-year-olds. So. But anyway, one day he must have just thought, oh, she's all right. I think I was about 15. But I was working then, so we started going out, and that was it.
Just cut makes noise, just let me know. Sorry. It's been a bit clear. So, can you talk about how you started dating, when that changed?
Well, I was about 15, and he was 18 then, and we started going out, and that was it. We were engaged when I was 18, married at 21, and that was it.
So how long have you been on this property?
35 years.
And when did you start tapping into your artistic sort?
Well, even when I was a kid, I always liked painting. I always was drawing and painting. I think... When did I start? I've always sewn. Ever since I was 13, Mum used to sew at home to make money, and I used to help her. She had the industrial machines because Dad was in the rag trade. So I used to sew when I was about 13. So when I went to work when I was 15, I worked at Chick Salon where they made all the underwear. And I've been sewing ever since. I still sew, but not as much. And even when I got married, I used to do, because Dad had a factory of his own by then, and I used to sew at home. So I've always sewn. Then I sewed for Tui for 15 years, making all her costumes for the dance school. And then my daughter-in-law bought me folk art lessons for one Christmas or birthday.
How long ago was that?
About 15 years. So I started folk arting, and everything that didn't move got folk arted.
Can you describe that process? Like, what's folk art?
It's painting, but it's painting with one stroke. Like, you do everything with one stroke. And if you look around, you'll see folk art everywhere.
Can you describe some of it?
Well,
around the place, as you...
Well, see those tiles there on that barbecue? I folk arted them, and then I fired them. I glazed them and fired them. So instead of just making plain tiles, I folk arted on my tiles, because after folk art, after I'd gone through that for a few years, I did ceramics, did a course of that, and the lady was just showing all the different glazes, and that didn't interest me, so I started doing folk art on my work, you know, on pots, not pots, vases and things like that. So I did that. I did ceramics for a couple of years. And then my son's girlfriend had a box of tiles out the front, and she said, I want to have a go at mosaic. And that was about 7-8 years ago. And she left them out there. They were those blue ones. And so I thought, she left them there and left them there, and she never did anything. So I thought, one day I'm going to have a go at this. So I got a hammer and some glue, and off I went. And I found all the things around the place that, you know, old wall tiles, and I started. Haven't stopped.
So on the barbecue area there, you've got tiles with things in them. What are they? Did you buy them like that? I'm just watching what's around.
What? The cows?
Yeah.
I made them.
Yeah.
I bought bisque tiles.
Yeah.
And then I painted the scene on it, and then I had glazed them and fired them and stuck them on there.
So you taught yourself mosaics.
Yeah.
And can you talk to me about, you kept at it?
Yeah.
Like, tell me what you enjoy. What does it give you?
Well, it's, I'm not a person, I can't sit and watch television or read or anything. I've got to be busy all the time. So if I've been out there mowing the grass for 2 hours and I come up, that's my relax. It's to relax more than anything. It's just... all you're doing is sticking tiles on, and you're not thinking about anything else, and you're just relaxing, but you're still doing something.
And how do you source your tiles?
Sort them.
Source them. Where do you get them from?
Well, we buy all the coloured ones from Bunnings, and sometimes we go around, we used to when we first started, go around to the tile shops, and they would give you old tiles that they don't want. And a lot of people just give me their bits and pieces. That's where they come from.
So can you describe to me on this property, like, how the evolution of your... what is it about you and the property and putting your mark on everything? How did that start?
I love gardening, and I love watching things grow more than... I don't like housework, so if it's a nice day, I'm outside, not inside. And all these pots that you see here, like that one there was my dad's, and it was just concrete. And all these other ones, a lot of them were broken. And so when you mosaic over a crack you can stick them back together, mosaic them, and they never ever fall apart. I haven't had anything that falls apart. So now everybody who's got anything that's broken, cracked, or they give it to me. The dolphin that came off a street cleanup, it was broken. So I concreted back together, built its nose back up and its fins back up, and then I mosaic it. That body of that girl there, my friend gave me that. So mostly everything you see is just, it's recycled. And I think it's recycle. Don't throw it out, fix it.
What do you enjoy about it?
I don't know. When I first saw Mosaic, I thought, it's horrible. I didn't like it one bit. But when I figured that I could fix everything up and make them look, you know, decent, I suppose, and then you never have to paint them or do anything again. That's it.
What goes on for you while you're working?
What goes on?
What are you thinking? Are you
nothing. I just put the radio on and listen to music.
So, describe the process for me. Think of something that you're doing at the moment, maybe, like some of the stuff you're doing.
Well, I'm doing a bird bath at the moment, and I don't buy... I have bought a bird bath from the shop to do because it's an order, but I usually get, you know, the old terracotta pipes and get them cut to size, and then I buy a saucer from Bunnings, but one with a crack because it's cheaper and because they can't sell them, and then I make my own bird baths. If you look around here, you'll see quite a few bird baths.
How many?
There's three. But they're all out there as well. I got a toilet. That's my last thing I did, a toilet. And I put a plant in it. It looks really nice. Toilet bowl.
So what else have you decorated on the property? Like, you've got painting murals here. Like, just describe some of the stuff that's the star, the growth of it. So how it started. Was that the starting point? The cow tiles? Or
No.
The evolution of it, how it's evolved.
Well, I first started with these tables because they were all falling apart.
I'll just get you to say that again.
Oh.
Yes.
These tables were falling apart, so I just stuck tiles on them instead of throwing it out. And then I've got some plastic ones up there that I did. You know, the plastic garden furniture. I've done them so I didn't have to throw them out. That's how I started. And then I started making pavers and things to put it in the garden, you know, to step on around the taps and things. And then my friends started, they started coming up on a Monday. I've got, one stage I had six ladies, but now there's only four of us, and we do it every Monday. The old lady next door, she's 85. Her place is nearly as bad as mine. You know, her wall things and pots, and it just gives the garden a lift, I think.
So can you talk about all the things around your property, what you've got around?
Well, I've got a kangaroo down there, it's a big one. I did that because it was my dad's and it was broken, so I stuck it, made new ears and things, and I did that. Those crocodiles or alligators up there, they were dad's, and they were, one was broken into three parts, and I stuck it back together and mosaiced it. The Mexican and the donkey out the gate there, they were my dad's. So a lot of it's sentimental, just to keep it. And I used to paint the Mexican thing, but they just, colour wore off after a while. So once they're mosaic, that's it. They'll be there for a lot, long time. Or somebody will have them for a long time.
What about the murals and things up there?
Well, that mural my friend and I did, he did most of it. His wife died and he came to stay a week. She was only 45 or something. And he came to stay, and it, so to keep his mind occupied, he just started airbrushing. So he airbrushed all those bricks, the blocks, to make them look like sandstone. And then we painted the inside there. And it's not how I wanted it, but he got a bit lost, so he just did what he knew best. Was he got his oil paints out and did the oil painting on over the top of the airbrushing. He's very clever, that bloke. And we've just got little birds sitting on there, and so it looks better than a white wall, doesn't it?
It does.
Don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm.
So that's part of the motivation, just to make the place look more...
Well, only for me. I think if you come past that gate, that's in my territory. The rest of it's my husband's, with his junk and all his bits and pieces. So this is my part. And I do what I want, whether he likes it or not. I even mosaic the toilet. Not the wall. Because George did me some airbrushed dolphins. So I stuck them on and mosaic the back of them. Then he did a mural on the back of the toilet door.
Is there anywhere else in the house?
Yes, I've got a mural in one of the kids, the one that was my granddaughter was 4 at the time, and she liked Ariel, so I did a mural on in there. Her and I did it. She helped me, and she was only 4. She sponged the background and that, and she had a lovely time doing it, so I'll show it to you. But she's very good at art now. She's 16 now, and she's just 10 times as good as me.
So what is it, like, I'm trying to get to what it gives you doing this. What
would
happen if you didn't do this?
I'd go mad. No, I wouldn't go mad. I'd do something. I'd sew. Me and my girlfriend make fairy dresses and dress-up dresses as well, and she sells them at the market. But,
So can we talk a bit more about now the mosaics and what you're doing with them at the market and
Well, what happened was one of my friends, she does it at home as well. She's worse than me with it. And she's never made anything in her life, and she just thinks she's so clever, making, doing mosaics. So we made so much stuff, I said to her, we can't keep doing this, because what are you going to do with it? So we decided to try the markets, and she tried Boot Hill for a while. But then my girlfriend's got a van down at Shell Harbour, so there's a market at the school down there, and it's a craft market, and it's only a small market. So we've been going there once a month for a year now. We don't sell much, but I get orders for house numbers mainly. People want, you know, house numbers, and we sell them pretty cheap. So we do all right. So I just do enough from one month to the next to have something new, something different. I did all the football signs in the football season. I've done all the beer signs, like Jim Beam, Jack Daniels, BB, Tui's New, all those. The last market, I sold a couple. So this time I've done a lot of fish, because fish down there, the people like fish. So this time I've done birds, because I've got a lot of fish still down in the shed. So that's what we do.
Can you talk about the process of start to finish with something? Just take me through it.
Well, first you have to make up your mind what you want to make. So we do all our signs and things now on fibro. And you buy your fibro, then you decide what you want. So you have to draw it up. Do you draw it? And then you pick your colours. And then off you go. Cut them all up. We hand cut all the tiles. Nothing's cut with a machine or... if you smash them with a hammer, they sort of go jagged, so we cut them off. It's tedious work, I suppose, and it takes a while. But once I sort of start something new that I haven't done before, I can't leave it alone until I've finished it to see what it looks like. So that's just how it is.
How do you choose your colours?
I suppose it comes from painting. Like if you're doing a bird, you do it the colours of the bird. And I think it's a lot to do with having a bit of artistic, you know, like painting background and that, to know what colours to use. Because my friend who does it with me, she hasn't got any idea. And sometimes she makes things and then she'll put a background in it and it's lost. So you sort of have to put light with dark and... I don't know how to explain it. It's like painting. Like if you're doing a painting, you would put your pinks and you don't put red and pink together, or you don't, you know, so you sort of know what colours to put together. And I think it's the same with anything you make, whether you're sewing, whether you're painting.
What sort of glues and paints do you use?
Well, for my folk art, I use... acrylics, Joe Sonia's I find's the best. And for the glue, we use Liquid Nails or Max Bond. And then we use Pearl Grout, so they don't, you can leave them outside and nothing ever happens to them. The only one thing I've had happen to me, I've done a fish up there, I'll show it to you later. It was, my friend bought it for me, it was a big fish, and it was painted green, and I didn't take the paint off. It was terracotta underneath, but being in the sun there, it drummed off. So I've learnt from that, you don't mosaic anything that's been painted. But that's the only thing I've ever had that's come off. After all these years, people say, well, what had happened to the bird baths? Well, I've had one out there filled for 7 years. Gets a bit mouldy in the bottom, but you just scrub it off and like new.
How much would you have produced, made?
Oh, God.
Talk about that.
How much?
Yeah, I mean...
A lot. I don't know. I can't say how much. I make things every week, and I've been doing it for 7 years. We've done the arts and crafts up at Kent's Creek for the last 4 years. You don't sell much, but you might sell one thing. But then you have to make a lot to have in it, and this is what happened. That's how it started. First, I started doing that with my folk art, and you do buckets, and you do paintings, and shoes, and whatever else I did, everything. And you go up there and sell one or two things, and then you got all this stuff. So what do you do with it? So that's how come we started. Well, we thought we'd start at the markets and see if we could sell some of it. And it's something I don't give a lot of people because a lot of people don't like mosaics.
Have you looked at any other, like have you researched, is it just all come from organically or have you looked at other books or tell me about your process?
No, I just, everything I do is just what comes out of here. I don't copy, I might copy a picture of something, I draw it myself so it never comes out the same. But I don't copy people's things. I never have. Oh, folk art, I still did my own things, even though you got all the books and things. And but you get your own style. It's the same as anything. Four of us do it every week, and we've all just got different styles.
How did that start up?
What? The ceramics?
No, the women coming here.
Well, they just saw me doing it, and they wanted to have a go. And so I said, well, we'll just do it every Monday. And we've been doing that for 7 years now.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So well, the lady next door, she's 85.
Who does it? Talk a little bit about the group.
Well, about two of them. One of them's my girlfriend that I worked with when I was 16. She came up for a visit one day. And she lives in a retirement village at Bosley Park now. And she has nothing to do. It's that little. So she just loves doing it. She's just done things for her friends on her garden. And Mim next door is the same. She's an artist. She paints. And she's getting a bit shaky now. Whereas this, it doesn't matter if she's shaking, she still can stick the tile down and it stays there. So she does things for her daughters and the son and herself and friends. She doesn't do a lot. She might only do one. She'll start one thing. This week she started a fish. It might take her 5 weeks to finish that. But it gives her an interest to come every Monday and gets her out of her little flat over there, little house. And she's just... I hope I'm not that when I'm 85. She's just excellent. Beautiful artist. She watercolours. And she still does painting lessons on the Tuesday with a lot of friends. They go to each other's place. So she's got interests.
When do you leave the property?
Me? Not very often. Not really often. I don't go... I hate shopping. I just hate shopping. I'd rather mow the grass. I just hate it. So I only go down to Carnes Hill or round to IGA when I have need things. It's mainly when I run out of dog food or fish food or bird seed. So I don't go out much at all.
So how do you find out about the outside world?
I don't want to know about it. What about the outside world? I go to the shows with Lynn, my second best friend.
who's my auntie.
Who's your auntie?
So you go to, which is just by coincidence, isn't it? Well, I met you at the funeral.
That's right.
At her grandmother's funeral.
Yeah.
So I'm really interested in that. Not just interested in... so you go to the theatre in the city?
Yeah. We go there probably a few times a year. And then when she has a morning melody over there where all the old people go from whatever she runs, Probus or something, and I'll go over there with her. Me and my other friend will go over there for the morning. But we go out mystery, we call it Tui's mystery trips, and she just says to me, she'll ring me up and says, she'll ring me up and say, put on some sand shoes or something, because you never know where you're going to go. So we just go out for the day. But I don't really go very many places.
Do you feel isolated at all?
No, never.
So tell me how you feel living here.
I love it. It's quiet. I mean, I have a lot of friends. A lot of friends come up to visit me. I mean, Eve, who goes to markets with me, I'll see her 3 or 4 times a week. She comes here, but she lives in a flat in Liverpool, and I might go there occasionally, but it's like Bangladesh, where she lives, and I just don't like it.
So I want to try and get to try and hear something about
what?
do you need to get that? Get it if you like. I'll just pause there.
Better turn it off. Bill.
Hang on a tick.
Yeah.
I think we're rolling now.
What I like living here. Well, I came off a farm. Not that this is a farm, but it's 5 acres. But I came off a farm, and when we got married, we went and lived. We bought a little house in Canley Vale, and I had 3 boys in this tiny little house with two bedrooms. And I just said to Sligo one day, "We got to leave. We got to get out of here," because we both had the life of living on a farm, playing in the creeks and the dams and all that stuff, and that's what I wanted for my boys. So when we come up here, they've just had the best life here. Well, two of them still live here. One's 41 and one's 35. And the grandchildren just love it. They want to come all the time because they've got the freedom of... Now, kids don't know anything about making their own fun, making their own jumps and bike tracks and... You know, when you see them down there in the dam, riding a bike into the dam over a jump and splashing, and it's just, they're doing now, my grandchildren doing now what my boys did when they were little. They never, ever came inside till it was dark, never played, watched TV, anything like that. After school, it was, if they could get them to do their homework, they'd be gone, just not gone anywhere. And for them to go anywhere, you had to take them. It was hard when they were all playing sports, like every 3 nights a week, soccer training, tennis, squash, and then Saturdays, and all the games, you'd have to go all over the place. But my parents lived around, they moved in 5 acres around there, and my dad used to take one, and I'd take one, and, you know. That was very hard and busy. You was always coming and going for those years. And once they sort of had all their own licences and things, well, you sort of find things to do yourself then.
So you live through your family, your key? Like, I mean, you do your own thing, but what...
Oh, yes. You know, as far as the grandchildren and things go. Well, my middle boy's moved up to Diamond Beach now, so I don't see them hardly at all. But when they lived here, yes, you know, babysat while they went to work. And the grandson here that lives here, he's 14. Well, he spends, I'd say, 50% of his time here. If he can, every weekend, and, you know, he just likes it. So.
Hello.
What's doing?
It's pretty funny, like, I'll turn the tape off. You have a bush shell.
You don't tell your neighbours,
no, no, no. So, okay, so tell me what you, well, not tell me, I want you here. How do you spend a day? Tell me a typical day.
Typical day, well, I get up and I make the beds and wash up like everybody does. And if it needs vacuum cleaning, I'll only if I have to do it, because I hate housework. I usually come out and do it. I usually garden for an hour or so a day, because to keep them all neat and tidy, you have to do at least an hour a day. I wash, mow, mosaic, feed all my little fish and birds, and I feed a lot of wild birds. So just things that you've got to do every day.
So tell me how long you spend on your mosaics every day.
Sometimes I don't do it at all, but some days I'll, like Monday we do it probably for 6 hours. And at night time I usually cut fibro and I'll take them inside and draw the patterns up so they're ready to go. Probably 2 or 3 hours a day.
So what are some of the benefits of this life for you? What has this life given you, you know, up to this point?
I don't know. See, coming off a farm, as I said, we moved to Canley Heights. We lived there for 7 years, or 6 years, and there was neighbours each side. And it's something I'd never had. And I just didn't know what to do with myself, you know, because I thought every time I went outside, somebody was watching me, like looking, because the toilet was outside where we were, and you'd see them come out, and they would go in their toilet. You know, you'd be waving to people. And I wasn't used to that. And that's the way I've always been. I don't mind my own company. And that's the way it is. And I hated living at Canberra. I just hated it. That's when I could find nothing to do. I used to sew in the garage to make money. With the three little kids, they were all, and I used to mind my niece. I had 4 kids under 5 that I was minding. But when we first came up here, it was hard because there was no concrete, there was no gardens, there was a house with a water tank there. And that was a lot of work that's been gone into this. That garage was there, but not the extension on the other side. So Sligo's worked really hard putting all the concrete and I did all the gardens, and so that was for a lot of years. That's what you did every weekend because he had a factory of his own then. But you would be pouring concrete, building walls, and all that stuff. So I didn't have a lot of hobbies back then because it was just go to sports and working. That's all you did. But it's something to do every day. Like, if you had a little backyard, I just don't know. Like, my friend who lives in that retirement village, she goes to the movies, goes down swimming at the swimming pools and goes to the gym, all that, something to do, because she's got nothing to do at home. So, that's not my... I don't need to go to the gym. If I walk up and down these paddocks once or twice, it's more exercise than they do in a week, I think. And I played tennis for 30 years every Tuesday, so that was an outlet as well. And I used to play night comp with my boys and Saturday comp with my brother-in-law, two of my sons, and my brother and my brother and two of my sons and me and another lady used to play Saturday comp. So, and Sligo used to play squash night every Wednesday night or something. So he played sport. So the boys played sport. If they weren't doing soccer, squash, tennis, soccer, not football. What else did they used to do? All the sorts of sport. They all did kung fu, black belts and all that. So I haven't just been sitting here.
How do you define your community?
My community? Well, I've got fantastic neighbours next door. They've been there for probably 30 years. She's a teacher, and I used to mind their little boy until he went to school for 5 years. I minded him. And then Mim's been there for about 17. That's Joy's mum. the one that's 85, they built her a little granny flat down there. So we're good friends. We swap plants. We do gardening, you know, all that sort of thing that you do with your neighbours. And the neighbour next to her, she's a really good friend too, across the road. So we've got our own community of that we've been here. We've all been here the same amount of time, except Sylvia. They've been over there for 50 years, I think. They had a pig farm when we first came here. Next door over there, we used to be friends, but they sold out and the new ones are a bit... So I don't see them. He poisoned my dogs. I don't like him. So that's it. But what are you going to do with the recording?
Well, we might use some of it for the exhibition.
Oh. I love making things. That's what it comes down to. I just love making things. Whether it be sewing. That's where it started. Sewing.
Have we got a water so I can take some?
Now we have.
I just love making things.
I'll get you to go one more time.
I just love making things, right? Even when the kids were little, I used to make all their clothes. I used to knit, I'd sew, crochet. There's only one form of craft that I haven't done, which is lead lighting, because it's too expensive. But I've done copper work, I've done macrame, I've done fancy work, I've done needle points, I've done all that.
You said something about a machine you've just bought? Or?
I bought myself an embroidery machine. So when the kids were little, I used to make all their bibs with their names on them and pictures and T-shirts and Christmas shirts. And now they're grown up, I don't use it that much, but I do towels for people with embroidery on them. I love making fancy dress clothes. So if there's a fancy dress party on, like all my boys had fancy dress, so I used to do the whole lot for the whole party, just about. Spend 3 or 4 months making outfits, whether it be Captain, what's his name, with the son had him, Captain Hook, with the hats and the shoes and everything, but I still like doing that. So I think that's how I come to make all the costumes for Tui's dance studio, because we were friends. Well, that's how we became friends. Because I used to make them for my kids for school. She worked around there. So she came and approached me if I would make her costumes for her dance school. I used to make all the fancy... for the school plays, I used to make all the costumes for the school for a while. And that's how our friendship started. And that was about 30 years ago.
What motivates you?
I don't know. I just love making things. I'll sit at night and just paint or just make things. I don't know why. I just don't like to be doing nothing.
Because you're an artist, probably.
I don't know if it's because I'm an artist or not. Yes, that's a drink bottle. It certainly is. Yeah, so that's...
Just the way it's always been.
Always been the same. You know, Christmas decorations, I'll make the balls with all the kids' names on them. I went through a stage of making shirts that you squeeze the paint on. Anything that I haven't done, I'll have a go at. Except I haven't tried lead lining because it's very, very expensive. I know that. That's it.